the Chinese community of Kingston. Exploring the development of Kingston's Chinese community from 1890 to the present day. Origins of Kingston's Chinese community. The first Chinese immigrants arrived in Canada in the mid-18th centuries, drawn by the Fraser River Gold Rush and the construction of the Canadian Pacific Railroad. At that time, the Chinese immigrants who came to Canada were almost exclusively male, both married and single, and sent their salaries back home to China. These immigrants were known in Canada as sojourners, a term coined in 1882 by Prime Minister Sir John A. Macdonald. However, Chinese immigrants did not use this term and referred to themselves as Hua Qiao, meaning overseas Chinese. The Fraser River Gold Rush ended in 1880, and the Canadian Pacific Railroad was completed soon after in 1885. Chinese immigrants headed east across Canada looking for work, slowly reaching central Ontario and the Maritimes. For Chinese coming from Western Canada and new immigrants, Kingston was attractive and offered opportunities for advancement. At that time, most Chinese came to Kingston from Western Canada or Toronto. These Chinese immigrants had a rural background, and many were originally from Guangdong Province in southern China. Specifically, the four counties of Xinhui, Kaiping, Taishan, and Yinping. Immigrants also came from the province of Fujian, the coastal neighbor of Guangdong. Chinese immigrants found work in Kingston's service sector or started their own businesses, usually laundries or restaurants. Subsequent generations of Chinese in Kingston sought to enter other jobs and professions. By 1941, the Kingston City Directory records the first group of Chinese professionals in Kingston, employed in such varied fields as carpentry and stenography. Most Chinese lived and worked centrally in the downtown core of Kingston, where their businesses could cater to the surrounding residents, targeting tourists, students, and singles. There was no Chinatown in Kingston, an area of the city exclusively for Chinese businesses and residences. However, most settled in the downtown core along Princess Street, between Division and Sydenham Streets. By remaining close to one another, the Chinese community was able to support its members. It was also extremely common for Chinese residences to be attached to their businesses, adding to this sense of community. Accordingly, other Chinese clubs and organizations were all situated nearby. Lee's Laundry dates back to 1890 and was one of the first Chinese laundromats to open in Kingston. The laundromat business was extremely popular with Chinese immigrants in Kingston and throughout Canada. Chinese immigrants both owned and operated laundries and often employed other Chinese. This type of business was popular because laundries did not compete with white labor class. At the time, laundries were also thought to be an appropriate occupation for Chinese immigrants. Laundry was commonly thought of as women's work, and thus unsuitable for white men. The Chinese flocked to this service-oriented business and was very successful. They were able to offer low prices to customers while avoiding competition with the white working class. Small businesses, such as laundries, were vital to Kingston's Chinese community. allowing immigrants the opportunity to engage in the municipal economy in a non-confrontational manner. This was a means of adapting to the hostile labor market in order to survive. From 1890 until 1923, Kingston's Chinese, who both owned and operated laundries, dominated the city's laundromat business. This continued until 1931, when there was a decrease in the demand for hand laundries. This decrease was a result of the Depression and advancing technology. As people no longer had as much disposable income, and automatic machines began to replace hand laundries. The Depression hit Canada in the 1930s. At that time, almost all Chinese immigrants were involved in the service sector, employed or self-employed at laundries and restaurants. Sydenham Street United Church, 82 Sydenham Street. This was formerly Sydenham Street Methodist Church. In 1925, the Methodist, Presbyterian, and Congregational churches in Canada joined together to form the United Church of Canada. Designed by William Coverdale, the Sydenham Street United Church was completed in 1852. If you look at the windows and archways, you can see that the pointed arches used in this construction identify the buildings of Gothic Revival architecture. This was an important site for the Chinese community in Kingston, as the church actively welcomed immigrants into its congregation. Within the church, there was a Chinese department. This department was focused on recruiting Chinese immigrants, helping them to learn English and integrate into Canadian life. The peak year for the Chinese department occurred in 1923, as there were 26 students and 23 teachers listed with the church, as well as 5 Chinese baptized during the year. After 1923, due to poor economics and government restrictions on Chinese immigration, the church documented a falling off in attendance from the Chinese community. The church continued its history of Chinese inclusion throughout the 1960s and the 1970s. In 1967, the Sydenham Street United Church introduced a Chinese Sunday service and a Sunday school for Chinese Canadian children in the afternoon. In 1968, the Sunday school used the facilities of the Sydenham Public School to conduct their lessons. Services were delivered in Chinese dialect rather than in English for new immigrants to Kingston. Former site of Kingston Music Company, 346 Princess Street. The store was located where Cham Lee's today. The Kingston Music Company opened in approximately 1946, advertised in Kingston City Directory for its records, radios, photographs, and gifts. It was owned and operated by Peter and Walter Lee. The store changed names in 1956 and became Ross C.G. Retailers of Records and China. However, it was still listed with the names of Peter and Walter Lee. Finally, in 1964, the store was advertised in the Kingston City Directory as Ross Cecil G. Records and China. This is a significant location because the store was an expansion from the typical ethnic businesses such as restaurants and laundries that employed most Chinese at this time. This was also the only music store listed in the Kingston Directory in 1946. The Lee family name is still present here in Kingston. If you notice on the right-hand side of Cham Lee's, there is an entrance way, over top of which is a sign that says Lee Building, 1949. Former site of the Roy York Cafe. Currently the site of the source is the former location of the famous Roy York Cafe. The Roy York operated for many years, first opening in 1927. The Roy York stood out on Princess Street for its facade that featured a large awning, with a modern light illuminating the restaurant's name. As previously mentioned, William Lee opened the Roy York in 1927 with three other partners. He had immigrated to Canada in approximately 1920, arriving by boat in Victoria, British Columbia. William Lee worked as a house cook in Victoria before moving eastward across Canada. First, he settled outside of Toronto and opened a steamed laundry shop while planning his next move to Kingston. In 1927, William Lee was able to move to Kingston, an ideal city for his business venture, the Roy York Cafe. The Roy York remained in business for 38 years. However, in the spring of 1947, the Roy York was consumed in a fire. This started when a painter hired for renovations threw a match into a container of a paint remover. The building was quickly consumed in flames, and William Lee escaped, but was left with a singed face, hair, and arms. The Roy York was subsequently rebuilt and remained on Princess Street until 1965. Restaurants were extremely important in the Chinese community. Along with laundries, the majority of Chinese immigrants flocked to the restaurant business. As previously mentioned, employment within the business sector was sought by Chinese immigrants in order to avoid competition with their non-Chinese counterparts. Advertised as Kingston's finest and most modern restaurant, the Roy York catered to Kingston's non-Chinese population. At this time, Kingston's Chinese restaurant did not openly display their ethnicity. In fact, all Chinese restaurants catered to the non-Chinese population. They had modern names that reflected British heritage. Their decor was modern, and their menus featured Canadian food with only a limited section of hybrid Chinese-Canadian dishes. The restaurant facade was large and very modern for the times, with neon lights illuminating the restaurant's name and metallic handles on the door. The restaurant also advertised live music and dancing with the Ford Frontenac Orchestra every Saturday on the second floor. Lo Kai Siu Yin Library. Opposite where the Roy York restaurant used to stand, beside the Trail Heads, is 270 Princess Street. This was the location of the Lo Kai Siu Yin Library. This should have been located up the stairs. The library was in existence from approximately 1927 until 1931. During this period, almost all the community organizations and support for Kingston's Chinese population came from the Chinese Nationalist League members. It is thus assumed that the Chinese Nationalist and its members were associated with the Lo Kai Siu Yin Library. Well, little information remains today about the origins of the library. It nonetheless was an important source in the community for Kingston's Chinese. Former site of the Grand Cafe, 222 Princess Street. This was located two doors up from the Grand Theater. The Grand Cafe opened in 1916 and was Kingston's largest Chinese-owned restaurant. encompassing two floors. The restaurant was owned and operated by Mr. Peter Lee. In 1927, the Grand Cafe advertised on the front cover of the Kingston City Directory, proclaiming its exclusive service for ladies and gentlemen, and a cuisine unsurpassed. This advertisement mentions the restaurant orchestra and alludes to the Grand Opera House, now known as the Grand Theater, that was two doors down, indicating the class of customers they hoped to attract. Mr. Lee and his wife were the proud parents of Victor Peter Lee, born on March 24, 1923. Victor was the first Chinese born in Kingston. This milestone was caused for celebration within the Chinese community as well as within the large municipality. The Daily British Week, the forefather of what it is now the Kingston Week Standard, published a news for the birth. The article detailed the event and emphasized Lee's family's ties to the Sydenham Street Methodist Church. In 1938, the Grand Cafe became the Plaza Cafe and was managed by Paul Settle and Frank Shu. At this time, the dining room offered modern sofa fountain service. The Grand Cafe catered to Kingston's student population. Students were able to dine while enjoying music from the Queen's University Orchestra, the Tricolor Orchestra. Like most Chinese-owned restaurants at the time, the Plaza Cafe did not display any presence of its owner's Chinese heritage. The decor was extremely modern. The only indication of Chinese culture in restaurants owned by Chinese immigrants was found in their menus, which offered a brief selection of hybrid Chinese-Canadian dishes. The Plaza Cafe closed its doors in 1960 after over 44 years on Princess Street. Former site of the Chinese Nationalist League branch of Kingston, 30 Montreal Street. You can see the walk-in restaurant. This building, which fronts on Princess Street, was built in 1877 by architects John and Joseph Power. This was formerly the site of the Chinese Nationalist League branch of Kingston, established in Kingston on June 24, 1915. It was also known as the Guomindang, or GMD. The location of GMD's first building is unknown. However, on August 3, 1920, the League moved here to 30 Montreal Street. The Chinese Nationalist League was associated with the Chinese Nationalist Party in China. This was the ruling organization in China who had revolted and overthrown the imperial Manchu government of the Qing Dynasty in 1911. This party was committed to a united China and a government based on the democratic principles. The GMD established branches overseas in order to spread its political message of nationalism, democracy, and people's livelihood, and to gain foreign support. Many prominent members of Kingston's Chinese community were affiliated with the GMD. In 1919, the GMD registered as an Ontario political party. Annually, the GMD would celebrate its founding with a ceremony and a feast on National Day, which occurred on January 1st. The organization also fulfilled an important social function, serving as a place for members to socialize. In this way, the GMD act as a support for many overseas Chinese across North America. In addition, the organization functioned as a meeting ground for non-Chinese members of the community. Evidence suggests that non-Chinese participation was encouraged in GMD. non-Chinese members are listed in the administration and can be seen in National Day photographs dating back to 1923. Chinese Nationalist League Club, 110 Queen Street. Built in approximately 1880, this double house is an excellent example of Victorian construction. This is made of brick and contains a carriageway on the lower right-hand side. If you look to the left, you may note how it mirrors the construction of the stone double house building next door, which was constructed in 1848. This residential house was also the former location of the Chinese Nationalist Club, which was located here in 1963. Previously, on Montreal Street, we saw the former location of the Chinese Nationalist League branch of Kingston. After 1946, the Chinese Nationalist League branch was not listed in the Kingston City Directory until 1963, when it reappeared, located at here on Queen Street. When the Chinese Nationalist League moved to this location, it became the Chinese Nationalist Club, functioning more as a social organization rather than a political one. During the 1960s and 1970s, the Chinese Nationalist League lost momentum as an organization and decreased in significance for the Kingston's Chinese community. In addition to the Chinese Nationalist League, there was also another major fraternal political association, the Chi Kong Tong, or the Chinese Freemasons. Much like the GMD, the Chinese Freemasons concerned themselves with the Chinese politics, the Kingston's Chinese community, as well as the care of its members. Victoria Cafe, 354 King Street East, and Mandarin Cafe, 331 King Street East. This was also an area where there were Chinese-owned restaurants. Both the Victoria Cafe and the Mandarin Cafe were situated in this area. Between 1914 and 1948, the Victoria Cafe was a popular modern establishment run by Julie and Sing Lee. The Mandarin Cafe, where Tango is today. This was a restaurant owned by Frank Lam and Lee Long. The Mandarin Cafe opened in 1931 and closed in 1958. Kingston City Hall, 216 Ontario Street. This classical building has represented in the municipality of Kingston for the last 161 years. Built in 1844, this building would have been in existence by the time the first Chinese immigrants came to Kingston. Despite the imposing nature of this building, Kingston's bylaw revealed the level of acceptance for Chinese immigrants in the municipality. Despite institutionalized racism at both federal and provincial level, Kingston had no bylaws regulating the Chinese. This impacted the development and formation of Kingston's Chinese community. At the municipal level, Kingston's Chinese population did not face any geographic and spatial restrictions. The city would have enacted bylaws to restrict where Chinese immigrants lived, as many other Canadian cities did. In Ontario, cities such as Hamilton enacted bylaws restricting their Chinese population. Kingston's lack of discriminatory bylaws may be accounted for by the small size of Kingston's Chinese population. With the Chinese population resting below 100 before the Depression, it is likely that the city felt no need to impose restrictions. Perhaps The city was also more sensitive to discrimination because of its past history. In the 19th century, many Irish immigrants had been discriminated against and segregated from the community. Despite lack of municipal restrictions, Kingston's Chinese community did face prejudice and discrimination in the city. Sometimes discrimination was not overt and existed on a more passive level. Acting to differentiate the Chinese from the rest of the community. An example of this can be found in the Kingston City Directory. The directory listed Chinese laundries in a separate category, distinct from non-Chinese laundries. This was not until 1963 that the Kingston City Directory changed this and placed all laundromats in the same section. The Chinese community also faced discrimination on other levels, partly the result of institutionalized racism. Chinese immigrants had no have to deal with negative public perceptions of the Chinese community, which occurred across Canada. In Kingston, there was no violent public reaction to the Chinese population. However, there was not the case in other Canadian cities such as Vancouver and Calgary, where anti-Asian sentiment led to violence and riots against Chinese Canadians. Chinese immigrants in Canada faced discrimination and institutionalized racism after the completion of the Canadian Pacific Railway in 1885. The federal government acted to restrict Chinese immigration to address Canada's growing Chinese population. In 1885, the federal government passed its first anti-Chinese bill, legislating a head tax of $50 to be placed on all immigrants from China. It also restricted the number of Chinese immigrants entering the country and mandated government certificates for all Chinese to enter or leave Canada. This head tax increased over the next 18 years, peaking in 1903 at $500. In 1923, the Chinese Exclusion Act was introduced, effectively barring all Chinese immigrants who sought to enter the country. Chinese immigrants also faced discrimination from the Ontario provincial government. White women were legally prohibited from working in restaurants owned or managed by Chinese because of a provincial bill passed in 1914. Similar legislation, called White Women's Labor Law, had previously been passed in Saskatchewan and British Columbia. However, Ontario was considered as a lenient province because Chinese immigrants could vote and seek employment in various professions such as law, pharmacy, and accounting during the 1920s. This was impossible in provinces such as British Columbia and Saskatchewan, which had extensive laws restricting the Chinese. Canada's discriminatory legislation against the Chinese was embarrassing in light of the contributions of Chinese Canadians across the country towards the war effort. Canada's policies also went against the United Nations Charter of Human Rights. In 1947, after 24 years, that Canadian government repealed the Chinese Exclusion Act. In 1962, the Chinese were able to apply to immigrate to Canada as independent immigrants. After the Second World War, the Chinese were allowed the right to vote in provincial and municipal elections. Finally, in 1967, the federal government implemented a universal point system for immigration. Under this new system, all ethnic groups were treated equally. While these discriminatory laws were annulled, it took considerably more time for the rights of the Chinese to be recognized and protected by the federal government. St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, 113 Clergy Street East. Here on our right is St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. In 1888, a fire destroyed the original church. It was then rebuilt upon the same site. Designed by architect John Seth Power and completed under the architect William Newlands. If you look at the windows and the doorways of the church, you can see that the architects employed Romanesque arches. Much like the Sydenham Street Methodist Church, this was an important site for immigrants as it was one of the few churches that welcomed immigrants and actively recruited them. However, this recruitment was not always successful. In 1901, efforts to engage the Chinese community and the church documents state that work done by the church among Chinese immigrants was not successful. However, by 1923, the situation was remedied and the Chinese community actively participated within the church. This evidence shows that the Chinese community did exercise control in determining their integration into the host community. This integration occurred based on mutual understanding when both parties were willing. St. Andrew's has a long history of carrying out Christian missions to recruit members from the Chinese community to join the congregation and participate in church activities. These missions usually occurred under the auspices of the Women's Missionary Society, who would actively seek out members of the Chinese community to enlist them into congregation. These Christian missions were most active in 1960 and 1961. The Women's Missionary Societies published reports in their bulletin under the title of Chinese Work. This push for assimilation is evidence of Kingston's integration mentality when dealing with newcomers from China and other parts of Asia. Integration of the Chinese community was not merely determined by the Kingston community. The Chinese themselves played a large role in determining the timing and extent of their integration. In this way, the formation of Kingston's Chinese enclave was a mutual construction. Many groups and people in the Kingston community were eager to Canadianize the Chinese immigrants and assimilate them into the community. The Sydenham Street Methodist Church and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church were notable for their active recruitment of members from the Chinese community. Chinese associations, such as the Chinese Nationalist League, also served as a place for integration. Non-Chinese participation was encouraged in the Chinese Nationalist League, and non-Chinese members played a documented role in the organization's administration. Integration of Kingston's Chinese community also occurred through the physical merging of cultures by interracial marriage. As previously mentioned, Kingston's Chinese population was largely a bachelor society. The disproportionate numbers of Chinese males was a result of immigration restrictions. However, this phenomenon helped to facilitate interracial marriage. Well, there was a social stigma faced by interracial couples and their offspring. Interracial marriage did occur in Kingston. William Lee married Mary Wellacott, a French-Canadian, from Cornwall in the 1940s. Their marriage resulted in four children, two sons and two daughters. Photographs of the reception at the Royal York Cafe show a crowd of both Chinese and non-Chinese who appear genuinely happy and accepting the couple. Paul Settle, manager at Plaza Cafe, also married a non-Chinese woman in Kingston. There are many other examples of interracial marriage that can be seen as evidence of the existence of Chinese integration into Kingston community. Preserving Chinese culture and heritage. In 1971, the Canadian federal government introduced a policy that promoted cultural differences. Out of this policy, the term multiculturalism emerged and was promoted across Canada. This had implications across the country for many different ethnic groups, including the Chinese. At this time, there was a move for Chinese Canadians to reclaim their Chinese heritage. As we have seen previously, there was a push for integration by both Chinese immigrants and the Canadian host society during the decades before World War II. Now that integration of the Chinese community had taken place, there was a movement to embrace their cultural heritage because of fears that this was becoming lost amongst new generations. This was also affected by another wave of immigrants who came to Canada during the Cultural Revolution in China during 1967. At this time, Chinese immigrants were coming to Canada from urban centers such as Hong Kong, Manila, Singapore, Johannesburg, and Lima. These immigrants differed from earlier generations because of their urban background and the fact that they were all well-educated. Many spoke English, unlike the earlier generation of rural-born laborers who made up the rest of the Kingston's Chinese community. There were further language divisions between these two groups of Chinese immigrants, as the first group to come to Kingston was descended from rural Cantonese-speaking Chinese, while the second group of immigrants descended from urban Mandarin-speaking Chinese. The presence of these two groups in Kingston was mirrored across Canada and led to the creation of a unifying organization in 1978. Chinese Canadians created Asianadian culture in that year, dedicated to uniting Chinese communities and bringing Asians with the 19th century roots in Canada and recent immigrants together. Asianadian culture played out differently in different cities across Canada. In Toronto, there was Asianadian, a journal promoting Asian Canadian culture. In Kingston, as a smaller city, focused on uniting the two disparate groups of immigrants and participating jointly in municipal activities to raise the profile of a Chinese community and their culture. By examining Kingston's restaurant, this transformation can be seen. In the past, ethnic businesses, like a Chinese restaurant, chose to hide their heritage and emphasize their links to Canada. Now, emphasis is placed on their Chinese heritage, which is strongly valued. This change began in 1970s and 1980s. In the Kingston City Directory for 1980, every Chinese-owned restaurant is listed with a distinctly Chinese name, excepting two chain restaurants. Today, in Kingston, there are over 20 Chinese restaurants listed. In the 1980s, many of the names of this restaurant reflected their Chinese origins, such as House of Peking, Lotus, and Pagoda. This remains true in Kingston restaurants today that carry names such as Lichi Garden and Jay Garden. This is a clear indication of the change in perception regarding race and ethnicity that occurred in the later half of the 20th century. This cultural revival was also evidenced by the creation of several new institutions for Chinese community, including the Chinese-Canadian Association, the Chinese Alliance Church, and the Organization of Cantonese and Mandarin Language Schools. The revival saw the creation of new community organizations for Kingston's Chinese, one of which was the Chinese Alliance Church. This is an entirely Chinese-run institution, catering to Kingston's Chinese community. Before the formation of the Chinese Alliance Church, Chinese Christians attended services at other institutions in Kingston, notably St. Andrew's Presbyterian and Sydenham Street United, where there has been a long history of Chinese involvement. Lee's Boarding House, 505 Princess Street. Chinese-Canadian Association of Kingston and Districts. Founded on August 30, 1977, the Chinese-Canadian Association of Kingston and District was established for Kingston's Chinese community at a time of increased awareness of multiculturalism. The purpose of the association is to function within the community to bring together the different generations of immigrants. As well, the association acts as a mediator for the community and the greater municipality, strengthening their relationship. The goal of the association is stated as to assist the Chinese-Canadian community to develop within the Canadian context and to participate fully in the modern Canadian society. As such, the association encouraged Kingston's Chinese-Canadian community to become actively involved in local culture. They also advocate for increased cultural exchange. Between Chinese Canadians and the greater municipality. As an inclusive organization, the association holds its meeting in both Mandarin and English. The Chinese-Canadian Association has had a large impact on the community of Kingston. They are involved in a large range of charitable work, both within the Chinese community and the greater municipality. As we have seen during our tour, Kingston's Chinese community was influenced by many factors. However, it is important now to overlook the equally large role that the Chinese themselves played in the development of their community. Kingston is a unique city, and the development of Kingston's Chinese community is equally unique. Due to the relative small size of the Chinese community, there was a greater need on their part to integrate to Kingston in order to form social and economic networks outside their ethnic group. The rich history of Kingston's Chinese is an important part of Kingston's cultural heritage.